engaging in divrei machlekes, not creating machlekes, and certainly not existing machlekes, not making it worse than it already is. Okay, now the first Rashi is a very famous Rashi. Parasha zo yofe nidreshes b'medrash Rebbe Tanchuma. What does this mean? This parasha was interpreted with beauty. Yofe. What is the meaning of yofi? What does that mean? Yofe nidreshes. So where do we find the word yofi? Where do we find the word yofi in the Torah? The first time with Chazal, the first time you see something in the Torah, that's where the Torah is defining the essence of what the concept of the word means. The first time is Sarah. Ato hine no yodati ki isha yifas mare'ot. Avraham says to his wife, we're now going down to Egypt, there's a famine, we have no choice, we have to go to Egypt, and I know that you are a beautiful woman. And if the Egyptians, they get one look at you, they're going to want to know, who am I? Who's your husband? So we can kill him, so we can take you for us. Therefore, do me a favor, I want you to lie, I want you to tell the Egyptians that you're not my wife, instead you are my sister, we're brother and sister, therefore they'll let me live. And not only will we live, they'll honor me, they'll give me wealth, they'll give me money, presents, because I am the brother of such a beautiful woman. That's what Rashi, that's the very simple translation of the pasuk. Ato yadati ki isha yifas mare'ot, v'hoya ki yiru oisach ha-mishim, v'horgu osi, v'horgu osi v'osach yichayu. Okay, that's the first time we find in the Torah the word beauty. He says to Sarah, you are a isha yifas mare'. The next time we come across beauty is Rivka. But Rivka, it does not say the word yofe. Yofi. There is no word of Yofi said by Rivka. Instead, it says V'isha Toivas Mare. Toivas, Toiv, does not say the word Yofi. He gave a look at her, Eliezer saw her, and Eliezer said about her, Toivas Mare. Different expression. Rochel gets the ultimate prize. Rochel, it says concerning her, V'rochel Hoysa Yifas Toyar Vifas Mare. Not only did she have Yifas Mare, like Sarah, she also had this thing called Yifas Toyar. What's the difference between Yifas Toyar and Yifas Mare? What does it mean, Toivas? What does it mean, Toivas Mare? And what does it mean by Sarah? He didn't know your dad, he isha Yifas Mare. What are all these expressions? What are they all about? First of all, Rashi by Rivka, where it says that she was Yifas Mare and Toivas Mare, Rashi tells us the difference between Toyar and Mare. Rashi says Toyar refers to the Tsura of the parts, the physical form. Tsura simply means the form. Today this is a very powerful, this can be defined electronically. Today, one of the biggest businesses that is in development today, in which literally billions of dollars, if not even more, is invested, is facial recognition. Okay, there's not today a smartphone that's not advertised. The degree of facial recognition it has to recognize you when you pick it up, and not just on your smartphone is there facial recognition, but governments and the military is spending all their money to develop software in order to recognize people all over the world from great distances just by a image. Instantly, we can tell you who the person is. So facial recognition means, it means the tsura. The computer looks at a human being, at the face, and measures from head to chin, it measures the width, it looks at the cheekbones, looks at the nose, it looks at the eyes, it looks at the forehead, it looks at every possible distinguishing feature that a face has, and gives it a number or some type of mathematical formula, and is able to match it to a database to define who the person is. Facial recognition is all based upon the theme called the tsura, the toyar haparitzuf, the physical form of a human head. Then Rashi says there's something called yifas mare. What's mare? Ziv kilastar. I don't know what those words mean exactly. It means, ziv means the radiance, which seemingly seems, we're going to interpret this now to mean there's something that cannot be defined, something intangible. There's no computer in the world that can do facial recognition based upon a person's mare, his yifas mare, whether it's a yifas mare or it's not such a yifas mare, because Rashi says mare is the ziv kilastar. It's the shine, the glow. There's a dimension in this world, we all know it's true. When you look at a person, there's more than just what his what he looks like physically. There is a certain life, a certain spirituality to a human being that cannot be defined, that's intangible.
Charm.
It's not just charm. There's something more to it. I think, like, for example, the dead body. Right? The first time I ever saw a dead body, it struck me. It was like a few minutes after the person died. And I looked at the person's face, and it just struck me, the expression just came into my head, deader than dead. It's not just because the person dies, so he closes his eyes, and he looks the same. And for a couple of minutes, there's still some, you know, moisture, there's still some freshness. No, when a person dies, everyone says this, the face is just, I guess, deader than dead. There's something you can't define, there's something intangible about a living person. A living person has on his face a glow.
Passion.
Whether what?
Passion. How do you behave?
It's more than that. It's more than that. There's something. There's the neshama. We don't appreciate it, but there's something there. There's some type, and this is what Rashi is telling us. It's called the ziv. Ziv means a glow,
radiance.
A radiance. The ziv kilaster. What's kilaster? I mean, also means a glow. I don't know exactly how to translate these two words. What? An aura. Okay. The glow, the aura, the glow and the aura of a person, ziv kilaster. This is how Rashi translates the words of yifas mare. Some people have a more beautiful glow and some have not as much of a beautiful glow. Obviously, what we're trying to suggest that this means, it comes from the neshama. Those people who have refined their neshama in this world produce a glow that's beautiful. And those people who live in a world of taiva and are nichshol in doing severe averos, they damage their neshama, and the glow that radiates on their face is not so beautiful. And who is to, and how do you pick up the beauty? I guess you have to be on a level, very high spiritual level, to be sensitive to this glow, to make that determination, is it beautiful or is it not beautiful, the glow that's radiating from the neshama. But the point is, it's something which is not tangible. There's no computer that can have facial recognition for a person's yifas mare. Facial recognition is for yifas toyar, is, as Rashi says, the tsura. And the tsura on a very simple level means, it means the physical form of the face. Chazal said there are no two people in the world that look alike.
How does it deal with the
Pashto?
Rashi's
Pashto.
How does it come back?
Read the words of Rashi. Yifas
Toyifas Mara. No, the Rashi, the first Rashi in the
Kur. I'm getting there. Let me get there. One thing at a time. We're getting this slow. So I firstly wanted to define. So I'm asking you a question. So far we have over here by Avraham Avinu, it says that Ato Yodati ki isha yifas mare ot. Okay, then Rivka, no yoifi, toivas mare, a good mare, comes to Rachel. Rachel hoy so yifas toyar vifas mare. She was both yifas toyar vifas mare. Now, Rashi only tells us toyar means the tsura, the physical form, and the mara is the spiritual form. Now we have a very big question. What's the question? We're going down to Egypt. So Egypt, these are the shetufei zima. In Egypt, they don't know from spirituality. They only know from one thing, taiva, noshim, avodah zarah. They don't know from blat gemara in Egypt. So if Avraham Avinu is going to say to Sarsayna, we're going to Egypt, we got a problem, because you're a very fine looking woman, and in Egypt this is what has value in Egypt. So what if you're writing the Torah based upon what Rashi translates the words in Parshas Vayetse of what it means toyar mare? So you would say that Avraham says, you know, hinei no yodati ki isha yifas toyar at. You are physically very attractive. Your ponim, your face, is a beautiful face. It has a tzura of yoifi. And the Egyptians, when they're going to see you, they're gonna go crazy. And they're going to kill me and they're going to take you. So what does Avraham say? Isha yifas mara. The glow of your neshama is beautiful. The Egyptians are blind to the yoifi of the neshama. They're blind. The yoifi of the neshama, the ziv kilastar, which is something that's not tangible, it's something which cannot be defined, can only be seen by a person who is also a Baal Madrega, to see the yoifi of that neshama, to see that a person who has a sensitive neshama sees the yoifi of someone else's neshama. But if you have no neshama, you don't see anything. You just see a body. So Avraham should have said to Sarah, Sarah, we have a problem. You are an A. We assume that Sarah was a beautiful woman. There's no question. Chazal even tell us that, physically. So therefore, he should have said, we have a problem. We're going to this land. Avoid a shetufa zima, eishes yifas toyarat. What are we going to do here? But he says the words which make no sense. Eishes yifas yifas mare. So this forces us to reanalyze the whole parasha. When Avraham Avinu came down to Mitzrayim, he wasn't really afraid about Sarah's physical beauty. In Egypt, they have a lot of pretty women. They don't need Sarah. They have their own. They have their own. The problem is in Egypt is a land of Shetufei Zima, and you, Sarah, who was my wife, you represent the world of spirituality. This is the Ervas Haaretz. There's nothing they want more in Egypt than to obliterate any Davar Shebe Kedusha. When they in Egypt figure out that we are a team, Avraham and Sarah are a team of Ruchnius. Avraham and Sarah are a team. Avraham and Sarah, they are here to create a world that's going to recognize Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. So you know what they're going to do? They're going to do what the great-grandchildren are going to do. Kol habein hayiloid hayo'ira tashlichuhu v'chol habas tichayun. Why did Paro want to destroy Klal Yisrael? Because Paro realized this Yaakov Avinu came down. Yaakov Avinu was a holy man. He's coming to bring into the world spirituality. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. V'hoya Hashem lemelech al kol haaretz b'yom ahu yeh Hashem Echad shmo echad. Paro says, I don't want there to be V'hoya Hashem lemelech al kol haaretz, because if it's going to be a Ribbono shel Olam, I have to behave. I can't engage in all of my averos. I have to shut down my business. Because my business is a fraud, connected to Ribbono shel Olam, and Klal Yisrael is a threat. I thought they would come to Egypt. It would be a couple of years. They would assimilate. We'll put them in Goshen. Chazal say Goshen was the worst of the worst. It's a medrash. It was the worst of the worst. This was like the Las Vegas of America. The worst of the worst was Goshen.
With all the Jews.
What?
With all the Jews.
Without the Jews. Oh. Without the Jews. And that's Pyrrhus says, I want them to assimilate into Egyptian society, and they should forget about their old traditions from Yaakov, their forefather, who is a holy man, obviously, and they should just cut it out and become Egyptians, like all of us. So I'll put them in Goshen. It didn't work. They grew in Ruchnius. They established Koilim all over Egypt. There were so many Koilim, they were going to Dinei Torah, two on the same block, across the street from each other. They were fighting over Talmidim. It was just like Flappish. Okay? There were too much Torah. There was too much Torah. Paro Vayishu, what did Paro say? We failed. We tried to put them in Goshen, they should assimilate. And now they're taking over. Ruchni is spreading, spirituality is spreading in Egypt. We have to put an end to this. How are we going to put an end to this? Kol habein hayiloi, the males have to die. V'chol habas techayon. If the ikar spirituality is from the men, even though today, even though the women are better than the men, but only because there are men. Even though today all the girls' schools are far superior to the boys' schools, but that's because there are still boys' schools. If there wouldn't be a boys' school, then the girls' schools wouldn't be anything special. The girls still need the boys in order to make them better than the men. So That's what we're going to do. He was a smart man, Paro. Kol Abein Hayilod. It's exactly Maisa Avos Simula Bonim. This whole story of 600,000 people in Egypt all started with two people. Avraham and Sarah. Avraham and Sarah was a power team. A power team of Ruchnius, of Yifas Mareh. Not Yifas Toyar. Physical beauty. We have our own. We don't need you to bring beauty to Egypt. Our beauty is a different type of beauty anyway. What they like in Egypt, they don't need Sarah for physical beauty. She was any, of course she was beautiful, but that's not what they need. They threatened by he they know yodati ki isha yifas mare. Ziv kilastar, the neshama, your neshama radiates. It radiates so powerfully, it's a threat to Egypt. It's a threat. Your spirituality is a threat to the Ervas Aretz, and they're going to decide, they're going to let you live, because you can't just, you know, they're liberals. You can't just go and kill people, but they'll kill me, because you're only, now here's the point I'm going to make over here, the truth is because your Yoifi is really only because of me. They're a power team. That's why there's an Ish v'Ish. Hashem made Adam, Hashem made Chava. Chava was taken from man. Not trying to be a male chauvinist here, but Chava was taken from man, and your Yoifi is derived from me, so therefore they're going to be very clever. They're going to kill me. I'm the Bane. Call HaBane HaYiloid HaYo'orot HaShlichu. And you, Sarah, v'chol Abbas t'chayun. The whole story of Chumash Shemos parallels what happened when Avram and Sarah went down to Egypt. And all starts from the Yoifi, he neino yodat ki isha yifas mare, the Yoifi. Here's the point I want to make. When is Avraham Avinu, when he looked at Sarah, look at the sequence of events. Avraham looks at Sarah and he sees that she's beautiful, a spiritual beauty. And what does he say? They're going to kill me. Why are they going to kill me? They should kill her. So you have the same kasha of Kol HaBein HaYilod. I already told you the answer. Kol HaBein HaYilod Oyot HaShlichu V'Kol HaBas T'Chayun. Because the answer is, this is what Yoifi is. When you look at something, Yoifi is different than all the other types of attributes, is that Yoifi means it's a mirror. You're looking at yourself. In fact, the Medrash, the Rash doesn't say this, but everyone knows the Medrash, how did Avraham Avinu come to see the beauty of Sarah?
Reflection.
Why did Chayil look in the water? What, he never looked at his wife his whole life? Come on. Well, he never really doesn't know what his wife looks like. There's a lot going on over here. But the deeper message is, Yoifi mean, when you see, beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Literally. Because when you're looking at something beautiful and you like it, what you're really looking at is yourself. You're looking at yourself. It's in your own eyes. You're looking at yourself. Avraham and Sarah was a team. When Avraham saw the Yoifi, the radiance of Sarah, he was really looking at himself. He realized now that his spirit, that's why they get the proof is.
First, now he realizes that.
Because the world doesn't care about spirituality. It's a free world. Do whatever you want. You want to go learn Torah? Go learn Torah. In Egypt, we don't want you to learn Torah. Because we have a lifestyle that's keneged kol ha-Torah kula. So therefore we have to eliminate it. In this makom, there can be no yadus. So Avram, until now I was in Canaan, they're nomads. No one cares. I can do whatever I want. No one's going to go and kill me for what I'm doing. I'm building a movement, but I'm not going to go to war over this. When I come, if I bring Yadus, I bring Ruchnius to Egypt, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a very big problem. So he ne no yodat ki isha yifas mare'ot. I look at you, I see your ziv kilastar, the intangible spiritual radiance. When I'm looking at you, what am I looking at? Beauty is the eye of the beholder. When I look at you, I'm really looking at myself. And the proof that I'm looking at myself is, and I'm the source of your beauty because we're a team, is because who are they going to kill? They're going to kill me. They're not going to kill you. Because I'm the leader. You're my wife. You're a partner. You're a partner. We go together. We work together. Now, I'll give you another example. Now, let's go look at Rivka and Yitzchak. There it doesn't say the word Yoifi. There it says she was Toivas Mare. Why doesn't it say about Rivka? It's Mare. What is Mare? Mare is also Ziv Kalastar. But here it does not say the word Yoif. It says Toif. Why not? Look at the relationship between Rivka and Yitzchak. They didn't see eye to eye. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. They did not see eye to eye. Rivka wanted to give the brachas to Yaakov, and Yitzchak wanted to give the brachas to Esav. So something couldn't be toif. We make a bracha on good news. Chazal says, "Hashem shemivarchem al toif, kach mivarchem al hara." Why? Why do we make a bracha on ra? Because ra is also good. Gam zo l'toiva. So why then don't we call it toiv? Because you don't see it. Ra is toiv in disguise. You don't see it. If you don't see it, the MS, it's toiv. Ulamos HaMashiach will be able to make a bracha on toiv. But if you don't see it, it's different. No, if you don't see it, you can't call it yofe. I'm trying to say here is that yofi means when you see something good, and you know it's good. Toiv is I have faith that it's good, even though to me it doesn't seem so, it's not beautiful. Yitzchak, when he looked at his wife, it says that he, what was Rivka? Toiv asmare. Ziv kilas. We're not discussing a physical act, we're discussing her spiritual. Her spiritual approach was very different than Yitzchak. And the proof is she wanted to direct the brachas to Yaakov, and Yitzchak wanted to direct the brachas to Esav. So when Yitzchak looks at Rivka, he's looking at himself through her, and he says, it's tov, it's good. Is it beautiful? No, because beautiful is only when you appreciate, I see the tov. I have emuna, that this is Hashem's Ratzayim, but I don't really understand it. Because as far as I'm concerned, the one that should get the bracha should be Esav and not Yaakov. Through looking at my wife, Rivka, who ended up getting the bracha? Yaakov. I'm a maimon. It's toiv. Kol asher osa Hashem is toiv me'oid. But do I see it? I don't see it. So therefore, I cannot call it yofe. Whereas Avraham and Sarah, they were a team. Avraham megayres anoshim, Sarah megayres anoshim. Chazal, they were a team eye to eye. There was no disagreement in their approach. They were a Chabad house. They were the first Chabad house. Avraham is a shalucha. Avraham megayres anoshim. Visara Nigayeres es Hanoshim. They were on the same page. Rivka and Yitzchak were not on the same page. So when you look at the spiritual glow of your wife, which really is just a reflection of your glow, can you call it Yafe or can you call it Toiv? If you're on the same page, I like it. I appreciate this. That's what I believe in. And you're partners with me. So this is called Yafe. But when you don't appreciate it, you don't understand, you're doing your thing, I'm doing my thing, all right, it's good, Hashem wants, that's what it was meant to be. Do I really understand it? No. You can't call it Yafe. If you don't really fully understand what's happening, you only can call it Toiv, you can't call it Yafe. Now go to Rachel. Rachel was both Yifei Toyar, Yifei Mare. He was on the same page with her, not only in Ruchnias, Yaakov and the Yafe had a different role. Yaakov was the first one to actually build Klal Yisrael for real. Avraham and Yitzchak, they were just warming up. And they had to, in fact, remove the psoilas of Yishmael, of Esav. Yaakov Avinu was the one who built the physical Klal Yisrael, 600,000 people. We're called Klal Yisrael. We're not called Klal Avraham, Klal Yitzchak. We're not called Bnei Avraham, Bnei Yitzchak. We're called Bnei Yaakov. We're called Klal Yisrael. Yaakov didn't just continue with the Mare, spirituality, also the Toyar, the physical element. That's when it began. The Shivtei Ka, there's no Pesoilas, there is no impurity. All 12 children have a role. And that role creates a nation, a physical nation, living in a physical world. There's physical attributes. It's the toyar. So therefore, Yaakov, when he looked at Leah, at Rachel, he said, oh, when you look at beauty, you're looking at a reflection of yourself. This is what I want. I want this, the Gashmias and the Ruchnias. I want the Tzura and I want the Mare. Because Yaakov's role was to build Klal Yisrael both in Gashmias and Ruchnias. And therefore, he saw in Rachel Yifei Toyar Vifei Mare. Okay, this is a whole nice Jewish over here, but the main point I'm trying to show in this is that when you say something is Yoifi, Yoifi means you look at it, you're looking at yourself. And not just you look at yourself, you like what you see. You like what you see, it's satisfying, it's well taken. Sometimes when you give a drasha, you go to a rabbi gives a drasha sermon, and the people, they get it. And sometimes the rabbi gives a drasha, and the people, they're lost. And so the Panovich Rav, he made a passion. The story with Rav Meir Shapiro. He made a passionate speech to raise money for his yeshiva, and there's a little child there, a few years old, and so he came over to him, spoke to him. So Rav Meir Shapiro said to the child, "Did you understand what I said?" So the child says, "No, I have no clue what you said. The only thing I got was you were trying to tell the people to give money." To give money. So Rav Meir Shapiro says, "You understood a lot more than all the adults." You got it. You got the message. All the adults, they don't know nothing. They don't understand a word. You got it. Give money. That's it. So it's the same thing over here. You look at Yoifi means you get it. You get yourself. Beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. Yoifi means two things. Number one, when you look at something beautiful, it's really a reflection of yourself. And number two, it's not a reflection, okay, I see myself. I'm not very happy with what I see. I'm not very happy. It's painful what I'm seeing. But listen, that's life. That's the way things go. Yofa is, you look at something beautiful and you recognize you're looking at yourself. It's a reflection of yourself because they're your partner. They're part of the team. And you're satisfied. And you get it. It gets you. It goes into your body. You really get the message. Now that is clearly how the word Yoifi is interpreted when you're dealing with Sarah, Rivka, and Leah. And this really is a whole tangent to just explain what Yoifi means. You're looking at yourself and there's a satisfaction. Now we can appreciate when it comes to Korach. Korach is the most practical parsha in the entire Torah. It's something that we deal with every single moment of the day. We live in a world where there are leaders and followers. And there's always challenges to the leader. In every dimension of your life, whether you're a Baal HaBayis in your home, who wears the pants? Who wears the pants? I know someone that said to someone recently says that they're talking to their grandchildren, and the grandchild, a very small grandchild, and the grandchild said to the grandmother, "Even though my father is taller than my mother is in charge." Who's the boss? Who is the boss and who is the leader? Who is the leader? Who is the follower? And then in dealing with, in a bias, dealing in a shul, you're dealing in Klal Yisrael, in organizations, in every dimension of our lives, we have people who make decisions. And then we have to follow, we are affected by their decisions, whether we like it or not. And more often than not, we're not happy with the decision. And we challenge the decision. We rise up against. Sometimes we get very sophisticated. We organize. We organize. We unionize. And we in numbers, we're able to overthrow leaders or quietly dismiss them or bribe them to pay them off to leave and so on and so forth. That's what's going on. That's the whole parasha. This whole parasha, Korach, is rising up to challenge authority. and he convinces all of Israel. Every shul is a whole story. I told you the story where a frustrated rabbi got up in shul and he said, it says in the parish, it says in the chazal, it says in the pasuk, Uvenei Kairach, Loi Mesu. So where do they go? They didn't die. Where are they? They're right here in this shul. The people, all the troublemakers, these are the B'nai Kairach. Every shul has the B'nai Kairach, the survivors of the B'nai Kairach. It's really true. It's really true. And this parasha is very, very relevant. Extremely relevant. And therefore Rashi begins, when you look at this parasha, you're looking at yourself. Yofa Nidreshes. What does Yofa Nidreshes mean? Yofa means you're looking in the mirror. What you see in front of you is really yourself. It's a reflection of yourself, and you get it. Yafa means it affects you. You get it. You can relate to it 100%. It's not something where you need emunah. Toiv mare in the context of Rivka means I see it happening, but I don't understand. I want Esav. He's my man. He's my candidate. Rivka, she's channeling the brachas to Yaakov Avinu. What's going on over here? It's happening against my will. I'm looking at her. I'm seeing it's toiv. Keshem shemivarchem ala toiv, kach mivarchem al hara. You don't have a choice. You have to have emuna. It's not yofer. Yofer means I get it. I really, really get it. When you look at this parasha, you get it. You get it. You know exactly what's going on here. You relate to this parasha in every single dimension of troublemakers. You're on both sides, whether you've ever been a leader, whether you've been a follower, you know exactly what it's like, all the politics and all of the nastiness and all of the negotiations and all of the aftermath of what happens when you succeed in getting rid of a leader, v'chulu. Yofa Nidreshes, there's no parsha in the Torah where Rashi says such a nusach. And it means, when you look at the members of this parsha, Koirach, Dosan, V'avidon, Oin Ben Peles, 250 people, they were like Machol, said that a nice little Dvar Torah, all different types of antagonists, all different types of troublemakers in this world. And you get them, you can relate to them, you can relate to Koirach, and you can see the whole sequence of events in your own life. It's Yofa Nidreshes, it's the reflection that comes back right at you and penetrates you, and you have that ah moment where, yeah, I really understand what's going on over here. And I really relate to it, and we have the advantage of learning the lessons of what the parasha teaches, the ugliness of machlokes. Okay, let's now go to another vart. First Rashi, the second Rashi is a short word. The second Rashi is lokachas atzma. What exactly was the nature of the machlokes of Korach and the Korach? Rashi gives us two perushim. Vayikach Korach. Who did Korach take? Rashi's first perush, he took himself. He took himself. I want to be on chutz l'machaneh. Rashi, lokach es atzmai litzad echod lihiyos nechelak mitoicho edel le'orer al hakuhuna to contest against the kuhuna. Then Rashi says another pshat. Vayikach koirach moshach roshe sanhedrios. He took the Sanhedrin. He took the greatest talmidei chachamim to his side. They're my supporters. These two Perushim are two sides of one coin. This is the worst, worst type of machlokes in the world. Where a person creates machlokes, l'shem shemayim, Torah. It's not about money. It's not about COVID. Torah. This is all about Torah. The reason why I'm making a fight in shul is because it's shalika halacha. I'm making Melechem Milchemes Hashem. Look what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Look what it says in the Mishnah Berura. Look what this Rav, I have psak from this Rav. I was Shoyal, the eights of the Gedolei Yisrael. I went to all the Gedolei Neri till they told me that I'm right. And therefore, because I'm right, I'm making Macha. This person has to go. This person cannot get an Aliyah. This is wrong and that's wrong. And you create an ugly Machlekes. All l'shem shemayim, I have on my side, the Rosh Sanhedrin of Klal Yisrael agree to me. You know what the answer is? You can be at times 100% correct, even in halacha, but you're still wrong. You're still wrong. The ugliest thing when a person creates a machlokes is all claiming it's all l'shem shemaim, when deep, deep down inside it's all because of jealousy, or because of money, or because of a million other reasons. But it don't go and tell me it's because this is the halacha. There's a story with the Sfas Emes. I think it was the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes, when he died, his illness was sudden, and that was a type of illness that the doctors never saw before. They did not understand the nature of what he died from. It was something that was very bizarre, and they could not get their hands on what he was dying from. And they finally figured out it was the rarest thing in the world to die from this particular type of machala. So one of the gedolim, I think when they were maspid, explained why that was so. Because the Sfas, I'm pretty sure it was Sfas Emes. If I'm mistaken, this was Sfas Emes. Because Sfas Emes was a very big Bal Hergish. And he was mispalel for anyone that had a tzar. And through his lifetime, people came to him with every type of tzara you could possibly imagine. And they have this disease, that thing. And the Sfas Emes, with real sincerity, was mispalel for his flock, for these people. And there's a principle called Nahalacha. Or Meir, can you help her out, Meir? In halacha, there's a principle that kol ha-mispalel be'ad chaveroi v'hu tzoruch lo'is adover hu nene tchila. So when the Satan came to take the neshama of the Sfas Emes, so what disease should the Sfas Emes be? Die from something, right? You got to go from something. You're just not going to just close your eyes and die. There's got to be a reason why you die. They got to put on the death certificate, the cause of death. So what are they going to put down? So the Satan went to every single thing in the world. Sorry, you can't use that, because there was a guy 20 years ago came to him and had that, and he was misfollowed with sincerity, and there was another guy with that. There was nothing left in the world that the Satan had at his disposal to use to take his neshama, because every single thing he was misfollowed. The Satan had to find something that was so rare it never happened. A fellow came to the Sfas Emes with a kvittel. I have this problem. I need you to be mispalel for me. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he decided to go and uproot Korach, he was mispalel. Ribbono Shel Olam, I need a new Bria. I need you to create a new form of death that did not exist in this world. I need a new type of death. You got to do something new. V'Bria Yivra Haaretz. Why? What? There's not enough problems in this world? There's not enough disease in this world to go die from. You'll be able to work backwards and say Mida Kenegi Mida. Guarantee whatever they died from, you'll find a reason to go say Mida Kenegi Mida. You need something new. You know what their answer is? Because with anything that they'll die from, they will be able to say to the Malach HaMoves, Al Pi Halach, I'm right. They'll be able to out the Korach had on his side Sanhedrin. You know what that means? It means he had on his side Kol HaTorah Kula. He had on his side any argument that you're going to make, I'm going to prove to you that I'm right in Halach. Moshe Rabbeinu said, we have to bring an end to this machlokes through unnatural means. Because in the Olam of this world, the Olam HaTev of this world, he's right. He's going to win. He's going to win because his arguments are airtight. The only way it can put an end, it has to be a bria, the bria yivra elokim, a new bria, because this is the chiddush of this parasha. That in life, when it comes to machlokes, it's an awesome chiddush, and you see this in life. You can be 100% right in every dimension, in money, in politics, in ruchnius, in halacha, but you're still wrong. How could it be? In halacha, you're right and you're still wrong? Yeah. Does everyone always follow the halacha? Everything you do in life is always la halacha? Not everything is always la halacha. Eis la sois la Hashem heferu tarasech. There are times you see a principle in the world that not everything is la halacha. The world continues to operate with the principle of eis la sois. Okay, it's a very dangerous thing to say. Okay, you have to follow halacha as halacha. No, nothing to talk about. But when it comes to machlokes, that's very dangerous, very, very scary situation. Korach had the whole Sanhedrin. All these stories about Gilgulim, they tell you, I was there in the time of Korach, and I was on Korach's, all the biggest rebbes. All the rebbes are very big into Korach. They love Korach. By Hasidim, they love Korach. He's like the favorite guy in the Torah, and they all tell you that if they would have been around during the time of Korach, they would have been on Korach's side. He was charismatic, he was everything you wanted in a person, and he was a brilliant Talmud Chacham, v'chulu, and some of them, they'll tell you, they'll Gilgul him, and they existed in his lifetime, and they were from his supporters, they were watching to see what was going to happen. Okay, you can be right, but you're wrong. You're dead wrong. And Memela, it had to be so spectacular in how he came to an end, the Embriya Yiver, because according to the rules of this world, he is right. But you can be right, you're still wrong. Moshe Rabbeinu is the manning of Klal Yisrael. That's it. Don't ask, don't think too much. Thinking too much can be dangerous. Okay, you have to be an intellectual, okay, but there's something to Emuna Pshuta. It's a very, very delicate balance.
But
very
delicate.
Let me just show how complex this is with another idea. Okay, another idea, different idea, but Me'ilim Yos Inyan. Let's talk about this Rashi. A very strange Rashi. Rashi says that over here, when we Yachis Korach, Yaakov Avinu's name is not mentioned. Ben Korach, Ben Yitzhak, Ben Kohos, Ben Levi. Women Levi, keep on going. One more generation. Why stop now? Who's Korach? He is Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kohos, Ben Levi, Ben Yaakov. What happened to Yaakov? V'loy Hiskir Ben Yaakov. Why? Shebikesh Rachamim. Yaakov in the soul is going to happen. Al Atzmai. Shelo Yizkar Shemoy Al Machloy Kosam. He should not be mentioned as part of their ugly Machloikis. Shenemar Bikoholom Al Techad Kivoidi. Now, Rashi could have stopped right here. We would have been very, very happy. We would have been happy campers to stop right here. But Rashi doesn't stop here. And Rashi says, "V'heichon nizkar shmom Korach?" Where did Yaakov Avinu, where was his name mentioned? Ooh, why do you have to tell us that? Why do you have to spoil the fun? And why indeed was it mentioned? Where? Behis yachasom al haduchan, bedivrei hayamim. When we describe the yichus of the Levim who stood on the platform in the Beis HaMikdash, when they sang Shira to Hashem, there we tell you, who are these people who stood in the Beis HaMikdash? Shenemar, it says, Dirin Diri Hayamim, Ben Avi Asaf, Ben Korach, Ben Yitzhar, Ben Kohos, Ben Levi, Ben Yisrael. Look at that. Rashi is telling us that there is a time when Yaakov Avinu was very proud. You know who my Yaakov Avinu, you know who my Enikel is? My Enikel is Korach. He's a good Enikel. What's going on here? We have a parsha here. He was swallowed up by the earth. He was a Rasha. Terrible, terrible things are going on over here. And Yaakov Avinu, I don't want to know from this. Don't be miyachis. Become al teichaka. But there was a time, divrayon, Yaakov Avinu, I'm proud. You know who my Enikel is? My Enikel is Korach. Korach is my Enikel. What's going on over here? So the answer is, question. I saw this in the Sefer. Why is Yaakov Avinu different than Korach? Who was meant to be, who's the Bechor? Who's the Bechor of Klal Yisrael? Esav. Esav is the leader. Esav is the Bechor. Esav was Yitzchak wants to give, Yitzchak wants to give the Brochos to Esav, and he's meant to be. He's meant, and here along comes Yaakov and says, "You Esav, kol ha'am kulam kidoyishem uvesoicham Hashem umadua tisnasu akahal Hashem. Why you Esav more than me? I want to be the Bechor. Sell it to me. Why is Yaakov Avinu different than Korach? Korach said to Moshe, Moshe, only you. I'm also holy." Yaakov Avinu said to Esav, Esav, only you can be the Bechor. Only you're going to get the brachos from Yaakov Avinu. I also want to be the Bechor. Sell me the firstborn right.
I mean, Esav was a
Rasha. He wasn't a Pasha Nemesh. Esav was a very complicated person. He in hindsight, we'll say he's a Rasha. In hindsight, we'll say he's a Rasha. And what became of him became he became a Rasha. But at the time, he was only 13 years, he was 15 years old. So he went out to the field, he went hunting, he did whatever, he went hunting. He was a complicated person. You're going to say he's a Rasha. You have a boy in high school that's not behaving. You're going to say, oh, he's a Rasha. No matter what he does, he's a high school kid. What do you want from him? Whatever. So you'll punish him. You'll do this, you'll do that. He'll straighten out. By the time he's ready for Shaduchim, they'll say he's the best boy in Lakewood. Guarantee. Okay? He'll be the best boy, even though he, at this point in time, he's doing things that he should not be doing. What's going on over here? Yaakov any better than Korach? So the answer is, first of all, yes, he is better than Korach. Korach, Moshe was fine. Korach, you good? Yeah, you're also good. Don't rock the boat. Moshe's good. You're good. Moshe's the leader. Leave it be. Esav, you're right. Esav was not good. Esav did not deserve to be the Bechor because already he's proven who he is. Okay, that's the simple answer. But there's more to it. There is something very beneficial about being a Korach. Now, here's the point I want to make. On Rosh Hashanah, Tekiah Shofar, it's the holiest moment of the year. And what do you say? Everyone's shuckling, all the women come, it all comes to this. Lam Natseach, Livnei Korach, Mizmar, Korach. Before you blow the Shofar, you're going to talk about Korach.
B'nai Korach.
Okay, B'nai Korach. You have to mention Korach. You know, overthrow Jewish leadership. I mean, what's going on over here? And Rosh Hashanah? What's going on over here? The answer is, on Rosh Hashanah, people have a tendency to say, it's Yom HaDin. And I've done a lot of averos this year. And I know now when they blow the shofar, and now there's going to be din for me, I'm in a lot of trouble. But you know what my best defense is? Don't blame me. Blame the rabbi. Blame my third grade teacher. Blame my kindergarten teacher. Blame my Rosh Hashiva. Boy, let him have it. My Rosh Hashiva, all of my problems in my life are all because of him, because he rubbed me the wrong way. That is what goes through the mind of many people. Don't blame me. My parents, they messed me up. My parents messed my Rebbe, my Rebbe messed me up. Everyone. I should take responsibility for my own actions? What are you kidding? I'm in a society where people tell me what to do, so blame them for all of my averos. On Rosh Hashanah, when you blow shofar, you have to be a korach. You have to say, kolom kulam kidoshim, uvesoichem Hashem, umadua tisnasu al kahal Hashem. Are you the Rav? You're the Rav and you're the Rashiva? Good for you. I'm also a Rosh Hashiva. I'm also a Rav. I'm responsible for my own actions. As far as I'm concerned, I would get rid of you, all the Rabbanim, all the Rosh, because you know what? I'm responsible. I'm not a follower. I'm an individual. This is a very good time in life to be a Korach. When it comes to Musa, when it comes to dwell upon your own deficiencies, and your own issues, don't go blame the whole world. Don't go say, oh, there's a leader, he sets policy, therefore everything is because of him, I'm not responsible. On Rosh Hashanah, you should be a Korach. You should. What is the most significant thing we do on Rosh Hashanah? By far, the most significant, which totally determines everything about Rosh Hashanah, it was what took place on the Duchan. What's the Duchan? The platform where the Levim sang Shira. What happened? What was the story? Well, the Gemara speaks about the story which sets the whole tone for Rosh Hashanah. They're waiting. Rosh Hashanah is only one day. There's only one day Rosh Hashanah in the Torah. But make no mistake about it. It's only one day Rosh Hashanah. The first day of Tishrei. But you need witnesses to tell you when is the first day of Rosh Hashanah. You need witnesses to tell you when is the new moon. So yesterday no one came. We're waiting for the witnesses to come. And the witnesses, it's 9 o'clock, it's 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. There's no one here. The witnesses have not come. So the witnesses have not come. No, by default, that means today is not Rosh Hashanah. The new moon did not appear last night. Rosh Hashanah is going to be tomorrow. Rosh Hashanah is going to be because the witnesses didn't come today. No one's here. It's already 11 o'clock. You got to get the show on the road. So you know what? It's Chol. Today is going to be just a regular Tuesday day. Everyone go to work. Today, you all were anticipating that today would be Rosh Hashanah. You all were big day Shabbos. Everyone has ready. The honey cake is all on the table, all ready to go. The apple and the honey. Everyone's waiting, waiting, waiting. A disappointment because the witnesses did not come. It's already 11 o'clock. There's no one shows up. Okay, Rabbi, I go to work. Tomorrow will be Rosh Hashanah. Levim, it's bring the Koyanim. Bring the carbon. Tamid shel Shachar. No Musafim today. No Musaf today. Levim, sing Shira. Hayom yom shlishi b'shabbos shabbos 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 b'beis hamikdash. And they start singing the Shira shel Chol. And then 11:05, who walks into the Beis HaMikdash? Witnesses, we saw the new moon. Today is indeed Rosh Hashanah. And that means that the Levim have sung the wrong song. The Shira was the wrong Shira. It's the wrong song today. So Chazal said, the world has come to an end. It's not because the honey cake got spoiled. It's not because you said the wrong Shemona Esrei. Nothing else matters. The only thing that bothered Chazal to no end was the Levim in the Beis HaMikdash sang the wrong Shira. The Koyach of Shira, of the human Roshan, is Hayoyim Haras Olam. It is the anniversary of the creation of man. What differentiates man from animal is the Koyach HaDibor. The most sophisticated form of Dibor is the Koyach of Shira. If you can sing the wrong song on Rosh Hashanah, this is the ultimate Simen Ra for the year. So therefore, that's it. We can never let this happen again. And therefore, witnesses don't come by a certain time, we're going to make 2 days Rosh Hashanah. So that the Levim, who stand on the Duchan, sing the right song. The only time Yaakov Avinu was proud, I have an Einikol whose name is Korach, was when they discuss the Levim who stand on the Duchan, who sing the Shira. And we do that. When do we do that? When is the most significant time of the Levim sitting on the Shira, the Duchan? On Rosh Hashanah. That's highlighted by Chazal with major spotlights. So that Duchan. And indeed, we imitate that. Because when we, and there, here is where Yaakov Avinu was proud, that my Einikol Korach is sitting on that Duchan on Rosh Hashanah, when they're singing the Shira, Yaakov Avinu is standing there. It's like the Sat, waiting for you to come back. It's like the Satmar Rav is saying, you know who my Einikol is? He's one of the generals in the IDF. That's what it's like. The Simcha Sachayim. It's the Gresta Simcha. He already had it already a few times over. Already happened a few times. So it's the Gresta Simcha that my Einikol Korach is there. He's there on the Duchan. Why? And we do that. Lamnat Seach, right before we blow shofar, the koyach of Dibor is Lamnat Seach, Livnei Korach, Mizmar. Why? Because on Rosh Hashanah, you gotta be a Korach. You gotta be a Korach. You gotta forget about all the leaders and you gotta take responsibility for your own actions. Don't push the envelope. Don't just pass the buck. Don't transfer. Not my fault. Be a Korach. Yaakov was a Korach to some degree.
Be a Ben Korach, fine.
Not Mamish, but you have to take responsibility. You have to take responsibility. Yaakov Avinu was a shtickle Korach. He uprooted Esav. Esav, you don't belong here, Esav. Get out. There is a time to be a Korach. But there's a time not to be a Korach. It's a very delicate balance. It's such a delicate balance. It's very hard. That's what makes this parasha so difficult. When should you be a Korach? When should you not be a Korach? When is Yaakov Avinu proud of Korach? And when is Yaakov Avinu, I don't want to know from this guy. The earth swallowed him up. He made machlekes. I don't want to know from this. This is the complexity of what Korach is all about.
How is Duchan connected to Rosh Hashanah?
Because Rosh Hashanah is the ultimate Duchan. Rosh Hashanah is when they sang the first Shira of the year. And the first Shira of the year is what sets the tone for the Yom Hadin, for the whole year. And the proof to that is, the only reason why today there are 2 days Rosh Hashanah is because of what happens on the Duchan. The only reason why there are 2 days Rosh Hashanah is because what happens on the Duchan, the Shira on the Duchan. The ultimate, the most significant Shira that takes place during the year is the first Shira of the year. It sets the tone for the whole year. Because Adam is unique in the Koyach HaDibur, and song is the most sophisticated form of speech. And if that first song is not sung on key, that's it, the world comes to an end. And because of that sensitivity Chazal had, they made 2 days Rosh Hashanah no matter what. No matter what, at Hayom HaZeh and Eretz Yisrael, they got to deal with it. Israelis have a very hard time dealing with 2 days. Hard time with 1 day. Harder time with 2 days. 3 days? That's it, you're in trouble. 3 days Rosh Hashanah for Israelis, boy. So this is the complexity of Korach. Okay, we're out of time, but I got to tell you one var in honor of Michal. Very, very quickly. One var in honor of Michal. He wrote the book literally on the Dal Malchus. And I want to have you say in the var, we have over here, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he hears about the sin of what the people did, Moshe says, Vayipol al panav, Rashi. Pasuk Dalit, Bibnei HaMachlaikis, Ukvar Zeb Yadam, Sirchoin Rivii. Four malchias, the fourth sin the Jewish people have done. Chatu be'egel, number one. Vayechal Moshe. Moshe was mispalel. Vayechal Moshe. B'misoininim, they complain. Zocharnu es hadaga. Oh, it was so much better for us. Mitzrayim, the daga, the cucumbers, the melons. Moshe came to the rescue. Vayispal Moshe. B'miraglim was the third sin. Moshe again came to the rescue. And this was the fourth sin, the machlukasa shel Korach, and here Moshe Rabbeinu had nothing what to say. Vayipol al panav. Now let me just make 2 points. Isn't this amazing how the words Moshe used to respond to the problem? The first time they messed up, Moshe was passionate. Moshe's words were, Vayichal. Vayechal, vayechal, Moshe, those powerful words, he supplicated with intensity before Hashem. The second time, Moshe was chilled out a little bit. Vayispalel, Moshe. Moshe was misspelled. Big mispalel is not the same intensity as vayechal. The third time, it was a litvak. Vayoymer, Moshe. No emotion. No emotion. Vayoymer, Moshe, he said. The first time, he was like a real chassid shemet, real vayechal. Second time, he shuckled.
What does vayechal mean?
To supplicate. To supplicate before Hashem. Vayispalel, it's not with the same intensity. The third time, it's vayoymer. The fourth time, no words. I have nothing what to say. He felt tachnun. He felt tachnun, that's the best I can do for you. Now, we could perhaps suggest, ma'isavol similar bottom, these four sins, and the response also, parallels the Dalit Malchios. The first of the Dalit Malchios was Bavel. What did Bavel do? They destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Why was the Bayis Rishon destroyed? The big three. Avodah Zarah. Gilead Arayah. Shlichas Dam. And the Egel. What's the Egel? Avodah Zarah. What did they do to make the Egel? They killed Chor. They killed him. Murder. Why did they worship the eagle? Chazal say, you know why they worship the eagle? Because they wanted to engage in Arayos. Mamash Beferish. The eagle was the big three. Could not get better. The eagle was the big three. They murdered Chor to do it. They were going to murder Aaron if he stood in their way. They only did the eagle in order to be Nichshol in Arayos, and they worshipped Avodah Zarah. Why was the Bayis Rishon destroyed? Avodah Zarah Gilei Arayos Shvi Chastamim. How did Moshe Rabbeinu respond? Vayechal. When Klal Yisrael, when they went into Golos, what did they do when they went into Golos? Whose kever did they pass? Rachel Imenu. And they supplicated with great intensity in the kever of Rachel Imenu. And Yosef and Yaakov Avinu prepares her kever way in advance. The day is going to come. Rachel Mevake al Boneha. Klal Yisrael is going to really mourn what happened to them by the Chom Bayis Rishon. What's the next one? What was the next chet? The Misoininim. What was the Misoininim? Parasumodai. What on Parasamadai? What they complain? Oh, it was so good to be back in Egypt. Oh, what a mistake to leave Egypt. It was so good there. We had the best food. We had fish. Delicious fish. And delicious pickles. Where do you get a dill pickle like in Egypt? It's kedai to live in Egypt just for those pickles. So what do they do? What do they do by Parsa Madai? They went to the Su'ud Achashverosh. That was the chait. Golas, there's never going to be a geula. There's never going to be the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. We're celebrating the fact that that chapter is over. We're now citizens of Achashverosh, and we're going to rejoice in living in Golas. It's the Zelmazach, that's the Misoinenin. What was the response? The response was Lech Kenois Kol Yehudim, but also the name was Daniel's prayer. Daniel was Mispalel. I think the word here is Takva Yispalel. It wasn't with the degree of Kever Rachel. It wasn't with the degree of the Vayechal Moshe, the degree of falling on the Kever of Rachel Imenu. How did they respond to the Tzara? They respond to the Tzara with Lech Kinois es Kol HaYehudim, okay? V'tsumu olav yal tochlu yal tishtu, they fasted. And also Daniel, Sefer Daniel, he composed beautiful tefillah. Daniel, incredible tefillah. But it's not the same like going to the Kivri Amos and falling and crying, Rachel, not the same thing. We don't find the Avos participating in our mourning. It's toned down. It's relative to Vayechal Moshe, it's Vayespalo Moshe. What's the third chait? The third chait was the Meraglim. What's the Meraglim? They do not appreciate the Kedushas Haaretz. What were the Yevonim all about? You can live in the land, you can have Eretz Yisrael, but no Kedusha to rip out the sanctity of Yados. That's the whole essence of the Yevonim. You can live as Jews, but don't practice Judaism. Don't uproot the Kedusha. What was the Meraglim? The Meraglim is, we just see land, we see earth, we don't see Kedusha, we don't see the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael. And what was the response? Vayoymer Moshe al Hashem. The Shabu Mitzrayim, Moshe was lukewarm, Moshe already was burned out. Vayoymer Moshe, there was no emotion, it wasn't a Vayichal, it wasn't, what, how did Klal Yisrael respond? The truth, they did nothing. It was also a gift in Hashemayim. And the response was, they said Halal. That's what they did. They sang Halal. Halal is not a prayer. It's not a Vayichal, it's not a Vayispalel. Relative to a Vayichal and to Vayispalel, singing Hoidah to Hashem, giving thanksgiving, Hoidah, it's a Vayomer. It's a Vayomer relative to a Vayichal, relative to a Vayispalel. And now where are we in? Golos Edoim. Why are we in Golos Edoim? Why was the base by Yesheni destroyed? B'nei Sinas Chinam, Machlokes, Korach. And what do we do today? How do we respond? How do we respond? Nigga Machlokes, Vayipal Al Panav. We have no words. Ein Milim, there are no words. What do we do? Are we eloquent? We have Korachat. What do we do today? Lip service. We're already burnt out. The best we can do is daven and say tachanun. That's the best. And even that we don't want to do. Even that we're looking for excuses. Vayibol al banav. So we're suggesting here that these four incidents, ma'ase avos simim labanim kineged, I think it really fits. Kineged, Bavel, Parasumodai, Yavon, and Edom. And what's also significant is the response. The response. Vayichal Moshe, Vayispalel Moshe, Vayoymer Moshe, and then there are no words. Vayipol al panav. Unfortunately, in each Golus, it's that much more difficult for us to step up to the plate and to do tshuva and to bring geula, but we will succeed. V'netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, we will succeed in bringing the geula from here to the and so on. Thank you.